Hey, everybody, how's that food taste, scenario? How's it taste?
I'm in the middle of dinner.
Welcome to the ABXY cast this week, everybody. It's your host, Tyler. Joining me this week, of course, are the usual suspects, Chase and Ariel.
Hey.
That was actually... Oh, that's good, that's good.
Yeah. Ariel's mouth is full of food because she's eating. But
I literally am trying to stuff food down my throat, like, as we're talking about the show before we start. And I was like, can y'all tell I'm chewing? Because I'm trying to eat real quick.
Yes, we can.
Sustenance is important.
Too. Now it's got to be cold.
No, you can, I mean, feel free to eat. Just don't, like, on the mic or something.
I'll be big munching over here.
You continue big munching, okay?
Yeah, big munch on your... What are you even eating?
I shouldn't be eating it, but it's Taco Bell.
You're eating Taco Bell?
You're going to have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the fucking podcast.
You are so done for.
I'll be all right.
You are so
You'll be
done.
Like, y'all, the Taco Bell just hit the intestines. Gotta go.
I'll be sure to let y'all know if that happens.
Taco Bell doesn't do that to me. I've like people always say Taco Bell fucks up my stomach, but it doesn't fuck up my stomach.
Asian food will do that to me.
They're like, just eating too much Taco Bell.
Sometimes I feel sick after I eat like a bunch of Asian food and stuff. So I don't know. Taco Bell normally doesn't make me feel bad.
I have an iron stomach.
You have an iron stomach?
I do.
That's why he won't need a break during the show.
I literally have an iron stomach, I promise you.
Okay.
I can eat pickles and ice cream in the same 20 minutes.
That's gross.
Do it right now.
You want me to?
Yeah.
That's
I'm a pass.
I can't say anything. I've dipped Oreos in fucking queso before, so I can't say
ew.
Shit.
Ew.
You know what? You say ew.
No.
But.
No.
No, but. I don't want to. Okay, I'm taking my I can't even think.
That's why Taco Bell doesn't fuck me up. Because my body's like, at least it ain't cookies and cheese. So that's a plus.
Aww, that is so gross.
Chase, I can't believe you just gagged.
He said Oreos and queso.
No, for those of y'all that don't know me, I am like a, what's it called? Sympathetic puker? I don't know. I don't know what the word is. If I hear someone else like gagging or throwing up, it will make me throw up. And Chase does it to me all the time. It's like his party trick is to make me throw up in front of other people. It's horrible.
No.
It's all incredibly right, rude.
I'm not a sympathetic puker, but I can't look at vomit.
Okay, and we should stop talking about it now. Please. This is where I log off, and it's not due to Taco Bell.
No Taco Bell for you anymore because of the vomit talk. That's not going to be the
podcast. Yeah, now I can't even finish my dinner.
No, Taco Bell doesn't fuck with me. It's like, I ate a fucking burrito from Chipotle the other day. That thing was as big as my head. I ate the whole thing. Now that fucked me up, but that was
really?
More of a, I ate too much kind of fuck up. Not
the burrito fucking me up.
Chipotle is really good. It's expensive as fuck.
Chipotle is good.
But it's good. It's good. Mm-hmm. Speaking of good, video games.
Yes.
They're good. Sometimes.
What a segue.
They are. I don't know if that is not his best segue.
Oh no! On the pantheon of segues, that's definitely towards the bottom.
Yeah.
But
sorry. Next time, I'll amp up my sarcasm so you can tell that I'm joking.
My fault.
The hardest thing to convey in an audio format is sarcasm.
Yes.
It's very difficult. It's harder in like a text message, but.
That's true. Do you come
you
off
need
bitchy?
Those visual
like,
cues.
I feel like I'm a pretty sassy person. Do I seem like a bitch?
Yes.
No.
No comment.
Really?
No. No.
Oh my
no.
gosh, I feel terrible. Y'all, I'm a nice person. I really am.
Yeah, okay.
I'm very nice. I'm very considerate.
Now that's sarcasm. See what I did?
No.
I think
no.
That one. Maybe you're just bad at it.
Bad at sarcasm or bad at being a bitch?
sarcasm.
Change okay. that I, to bad bitch.
There was a
period.
Video games.
Video games.
Anyway.
Who? What you been playing?
What y'all been playing?
Man, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
I nominate. Okay.
Oh.
I volunteer.
She hopped right in there.
Well, volunteer. Oh, shit. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, can you take a guess?
I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark and say that you have been playing The Sims.
Of course I have. That is my game. Yep. That is, and I like, the most I can do is two games at once, and I've been doing two games at once, and I'm not sick of them yet, and that's normally when I change it up into a different game is when I'm sick of one, and I'm not sick of them yet. So it's still Sims and Blood Bowl. So there I
Sims
am.
Sims and Blood Bowl. What two completely, like, just different ends of the spectrum games?
Right.
On the one hand, you have like violent football, and then on the other hand, you have The Sims.
I don't know. I right? feel like they're kind of similar.
I don't know about
I
that.
Mean, if you're no, violently killing of, your Sims, then
I
yes.
I mean, no, I don't think you can kill a Sim. I don't know. I haven't tried that.
You yes, can.
You can? You can commit you murder?
Like, you can't, like, murder them, but you can create, like, a Rube Goldberg machine of death that results in their demise. Like, they jump in the pool and you delete the ladder, which they fix that by letting them be able to climb out the pool.
Well, I'm not trying. Oh my gosh. Who's trying to kill their Sim?
Like, getting a Sim to set a baby down in the kitchen and then the fire starts and you delete the door.
Stop!
Oh my god.
These are things other people did, not me.
Oh, I was about to say.
I don't want to know. I don't like this dark, twisty world of Sim.
Oh, you no, have, you can't tell me you've never been, like, mildly murder curious in that game. Like, what would happen?
No, listen, here's the thing. I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. I was literally listening to it on the way home after work today. I listen to a lot. Like, I put in hours. I feel like that's enough for me.
Hours.
I need it in my Sims. What, are you making fun of me?
Just the way you said hours.
I mean, sometimes they deserve it, though. Like, if you have a particularly, like, non-obedient Sim that is, like, exercising free will.
I would just delete it.
Well, like, but you can delete it in fire by, like, locking Why them in the kitchen after they accidentally burn their macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
that's a good
gosh.
Idea.
I didn't even know that you could burn
great
macaroni
idea.
And cheese.
Yeah, you can.
How do you burn macaroni? Also, who wants to live in a house where you don't have an open floor plan of, like, nice, like, dining room, living room, kitchen, all connected.
Well, you
Sometimes
can burn it down.
You need doors.
Y'all be living in a bad house in Sims.
You can burn it down, though.
Listen, open floor plans are overrated. They're too safe,
what?
And they're too easy to escape.
What?
And those two things make them unappealing in the Sims universe, where sometimes
mood.
I just need to lock a fucking Sim in their bedroom and be like, sit
mood.
In the corner and paint until you die.
Oh,
like,
my god. Oh, my god.
Some people have... Some people have, like... Yes, some people
yes.
have built, like, basements. And by some... I literally, this one, I don't mean me. This is going a step too far. Setting your kitchen on fire and killing an entire Sims family, that's one thing. But building a basement where you have, like, a Sim whose sole purpose is to just pump out painting after painting after painting after painting, like some sort of, like, Handmaid's Tale kind of shit, but for paintings. Mm-hmm. And that's all they do. And you make sure their bare minimum needs are met. And they're basically just like an art slave. And that's what they exist to do.
Hey.
So that some other Sim can make a shitload of money by doing absolutely nothing. People do that.
That's some inspiration.
Ariel's in complete shock. She's like, what?
She's,
I didn't know this. I'm, like, genuinely sad. I'm so upset.
The dark, twisted world of Sims.
The dark, twisted
need,
world
I
of
didn't
Sims.
Need to know any of this information.
Sim trafficking.
Sim trafficking.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
That is horrible.
No, that's no. Oh, right. Man. I don't think
oh
you can
my
do that, actually.
Gosh. I yeah. would hope not.
Like, you can build, like, a Sim labor sweatshop, but... You know, I think
oh
going into
gosh.
The actual trafficking part, That's just got to be your RP.
Oh yeah, I was about to say, your RP.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. This is so upsetting.
You're going to go, like, apologize to your Sims. Like, I hear the horrors that occur in your world, and I'm so sorry.
I am so sorry.
I'm going to hop on just to tuck her into bed, tell her goodnight, and then I'm going to close it out again. I'm going to let her know she's loved.
Some people take the godly power they're given in The Sims to entirely devilish corners of their psyche.
They should be canceled. Y'all people, if any of y'all do that, shame on you. And Sims should take your privilege of having a Sim away.
They give you a standoff.
That's so sad.
Take your Sim ticket back.
I'm going to take my ball and go home.
You should I'm just saying. That's so upsetting. Man, well, next week I'll probably have a new game to review.
What did you do in The Sims this week?
Do you remember?
Me?
Yeah, what did you do in The Sims while you played it?
I got a boyfriend.
Well, that's good.
I made some money. My girl, I don't like what she does. I need to change her job because she's not making enough money.
You choose that.
Yeah. You literally choose that.
What job they work, what they do.
No, so it kind of messed up and it didn't let me pick.
What?
And so it randomized and then I tried to click on it and it wouldn't let me go back.
You're talking about the goals, right?
I haven't played The Sims in a while.
No, their career. Some shit could have
changed.
You can change their career anytime. You can't change their
goal. Call and quit your fucking job.
That's why I said I need it. Yeah, that's why I said I need to change it. Because I don't she's like an entertainer or whatever.
All my Sims are work from home influencers. Okay.
Oh, nice. I had a writer and he was so good. I really liked that.
I like the stay at home jobs because it's you get to manipulate every part of their day instead of just when they're home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
When I played Sims, that's what I liked them too.
Yeah. Now that I'm sad, what did y'all do?
Now that you're sad.
Yeah, I'll just sit over here.
Chase, I see you've been playing some NBA 2K.
I have.
Again.
Yes.
I love 2K.
Any specific reason?
March Madness. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of the March Madness. I've never come down with the March Madness, but I've heard of it.
You know what it is, though, right?
Yes, it's the NCAA thing, college basketball.
The top 64 teams of college basketball go into a tournament, and they just work their way down through the 64, 32, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, and the championship game.
Yes.
And it's been crazy this year.
Yeah,
I just remember it as the shit that delayed all of my CW shows for a month.
Aww.
Because that was the channel that March Madness was on.
That's funny. I used to watch a lot of CW shows.
Watching all this March Madness basketball has inspired me to play some 2K. And I haven't really had a lot of time this week. I've been working so much the last 2 months, so when I come home, it's I can't get into a story game because I can only play for about 2 hours, so I have to just play something that goes by quick.
Yeah.
I just throw on 2K or something.
Mm. Okay. That's what two jobs will do for you.
Yeah.
Two jobs in school.
Full-time student. It sucks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It sucks.
It does suck. Really saps all the time out of your week.
It saps everything, but I will eventually find times to play video game.
Even working one full-time job saps all the time out of your week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
But despite that, I did actually play not only a video game this week, but a different video game than I've been playing the last few weeks. So there's this little game that dropped on Game Pass, surprisingly. It hadn't been, announced that it was coming to Game Pass. It's called Tunic. And I saw an ad for this game, a trailer back during the Game Awards last year. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd heard about it. And it was the last time that I'd heard about it. And then I was listening to a podcast and they were kind of all talking about how much they really fucked with this game. And I was like, all right, I'm going to download this game. I'm going to see what it's all about. And boy, do, oh my God.
It's good.
It's good. It's good. I've only played like two to three hours. It's not, from what I understand, it's not a very long game. So it's really as long as you make it. But the first thing I'm going to say is this game does not hold your hand at all. It tells you absolutely nothing. There are no objective markers. Most of the text in the game is in a gibberish made up runic language. It's not real. So be prepared to take notes. Like, you're going to have to take notes while you play this game. And if there is a story, I haven't picked up on it. Other than there's a big golden door I'm trying to open and I have to ring two bell towers. But this is a Souls-like and I am enjoying it.
Oh, I didn't know it was Souls-like.
It is a Souls-like. And I did not know that going in. The people gushing about it did not say that it was a Souls-like. And I went into it thinking, oh, it's just this really cute Legend of Zelda-esque, you know, Link's Awakening style game. No, this is a fucking Dark Souls in Legend of Zelda clothing. Like, it is...
How bad are the bosses?
So I have not come across one yet. I've come across, like more difficult enemies that take a few more hits to kill, and I've had to be a bit more strategic. I have died a lot. A lot. So don't let the art style fool you. This is not an easy game.
To be honest, I saw that trailer for it, and I thought it looked super cute and precious. And I was like, oh, I could probably play that really easily, but maybe not now.
Yeah. It is definitely not an easy game. The combat is... It's very basic, so you have, like, you start the game off, and you open up a chest, and you get a stick. Just a literal, like, tree branch. And you assign it to one of three buttons, and that's how you attack things. And from there on, the game gives you no direction. And you can just go through the entirety of the game and play with that stick if you want to. There is a sword you can get. I got it. The game does kind of push you in the direction of going towards the sword, but you don't have to if you don't want to. But the combat is very, very, like, complex, despite how simple it seems. It's not easy, but it's also not, like, super hard to get your head around.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to, like, master dodging and blocking and managing your stamina and keeping an eye on your health and using your potions. You do have to, like, keep all of that in mind, but the game slowly ramps up the challenge that the enemies pose. So you start off with little slime blobby things that don't really hurt you. And then, like, they introduce a slime blob that can do, like, a backflip. And, like, that was the first time I took damage, was when that thing hit me. And I was like, oh, so I need to dodge out of the way of this. And then it introduced, like, these floating things that shoot, like, a spike of ice at you. And so I was like, okay, so you wait for them to shoot, and then you dodge out the way, and then you hit them, you know.
And then you hit them.
You hit them. And then, like, there's a variant of that that shoots, like, a bunch of projectiles out in kind of like an arc in front of it. So you kind of have to dodge in between or block if you have the shield. So
it just, like, slowly gets more advanced.
Slowly, like, builds complexity on complexity and systems on systems. So you're not, like, overwhelmed when you jump in. So it's not like Dark Souls, which is just like, here's everything, you know, good luck. It really kind of eases you in. Attacking doesn't use stamina, which is, for me, very, like,
helpful.
Sigh of relief. Crazy. You know, because, like, I don't want to have to manage, like, my stamina while I'm attacking, but dodging and blocking do. Mm. And the combat is punishing. Like, if you run out of stamina, you need to get away and let it recharge, because you can't dodge, you can't block, you're more likely to be knocked over, and every attack does 50% more damage when you are out of stamina. So the game, like, you really want to be managing that stamina and not overdoing it. Just like Dark Souls, you have little you have shrines that you go to. You rest at them to refill your health and healing items. Enemies respawn. Whenever you die, you respawn at the last shrine you visited, and you lose all of your, you know, wealth that you accumulate, and you have to go run to where you die to recover your stuff, just like Dark Souls. The shrines are a bit more consistently spaced out, so I haven't noticed it being that big of a challenge. But to be completely honest, early on, I didn't even realize that you had to go get your stuff back.
Aww, you lost everything the first time you died?
Well, so you lose your... You don't lose your items. You don't lose, you know, any, any shortcuts and things that you've unlocked. You don't lose that. Your currency.
Yeah.
Your coin.
The money. Okay.
The money. Which you use to buy stuff from this really, scary looking but completely harmless shopkeeper that's this giant ghoul monster, but it doesn't hurt you. But you use it to buy that, and then you use it in combination with specific items to level up your health and your attack and things like that at the shrines. So when you die, you lose it all, so you have to go get your corpse or grind out enemies in order to get it back. But there seems to be a good spacing of those shrines so that the corpse runs aren't too bad. But it's definitely a situation where I've walked into a few places and just been like, I shouldn't be here, but I'm going to keep going anyway. And then I die to something that does a ton of damage, and I barely deal any damage to. And then it's so far away from the shrine that I spawned at that I'm not even going to bother going back to it. But yeah, it's super good. And it's in this kind of isometric tilt shift diorama perspective, which is what lends it that cute look. You play as this really adorable fox.
Mm-hmm. It's so cute.
Yeah.
But they play with perspective.
Ariel, you know what a Souls game is, right?
It's Dark Souls. It's hard, is what it means.
A Souls-like game?
I know Zelda.
This isn't like Zelda at all.
I thought you said it was in Zelda clothing. I thought that's what you said.
Yeah. It looks like a Zelda game, but it plays nothing like a Zelda game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So to the Souls one? No.
Yeah, so it's just a genre of games, but that started with the Dark Souls and Demon Souls games. It's just basically very difficult, challenging games.
I assumed.
That they punish you and require you to master the mechanics and the how the bosses fight and their attack patterns. It's very much this. It's a franchise of games that I personally have never clicked with. Outside of Jedi Fallen Order, which is a Souls like baby's first Dark Souls in a way. Because that game had difficulty settings. This game doesn't have difficulty settings. There is no difficulty meter. You are either bad at it or you are good at it. And if you are bad at it, you just have to ram your head into it until you get better. And I had no idea going in that's the type of game it was. So it was able to get its hooks in me before I figured it out. And now I'm kind of I like this game a lot. But it plays with perspective. So since it's from that kind of isometric angle, there are so many hidden passages and secrets and stuff that is just hidden where you cannot see it.
That's cool.
So you're running into walls trying to find these little hidden passages. So early on in the game, I walked into a room and I discovered a door. And I went through that door and it took me into a room, and I was on one side of the room and there was a gate, and on the other side of the room was the shield that I needed to get and in order to be able to block stuff. And I couldn't get to it. So I had to find a different way to get to the shield. Eventually I found it. I stumbled across it, but there was a lot of just hidden passages that take you to chests with stuff in it, or you know, and what's even better is when you go into one of these hidden spots and you go through the little room and then you come out the other end and it's right next to a spot you were just at and you had no idea that was there. That's so cool. You're like, holy shit, like I could have gone at it from a completely different angle, but I didn't see it because of how the perspective is in the game. And it's just weirdly like it's the art style is really calm and at ease.
That's what I was thinking, was it seemed like a very like chill, like stress reliever kind of, let me just go hop on real quick and play and like relax. That's exactly what I was thinking it was.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't sound like it anymore. That actually is, I mean, I'm excited to still try it out, but it looks deceiving, I guess.
And then as you're playing, you're unlocking, you're finding these pages to an instruction booklet in the world. And so basically they're pages to a game manual. And they explain the gameplay mechanics and they provide context and they have maps of the different areas of the game. And like there's notes scribbled on some of the pages, like somebody had gone in and wrote stuff down while they were playing the game. And it's this really like weird old school feeling of cracking open the manual to figure stuff out when you're kind of stuck, but you don't have the full thing. So you're collecting it as you're playing. And sometimes you'll be going through and you'll unlock a page and it'll be something you already knew that you had just discovered by pressing buttons randomly. And then sometimes you learn something that is completely game changing and you had no idea that that was a thing. So like for me, I found a page about an hour and a half in or so that gives me a map of the overworld, and it shows my little fox dude where he's at on the map so I can check and see where am I in relation to all these things. And all the different like locations are labeled. So like it tells me this is the old house, this is, you know, the East Forest, and this is whatever. And I found a page earlier on that like told me in order to go through this golden gate, I need to ring two bell towers. And to get to those bell towers, you need to go here and then here and then here. And then to ring this bell tower, you need to go here and then here and then here to get this. And then you go back here to get it. And like, it was just this like roundabout way of like how you should progress. And then now I have the overworld map to kind of give me an idea of how to get there. And then I got another map for one of the places I needed to go to. So when I got there, I could kind of see like how I needed to go through it and where the shortcuts were so that I could unlock where the shrine was. I found a page that tells me about a place called the Frog's Domain. I have no idea what the Frog's Domain is, but it seems intriguing. But it just seems like understanding that manual and like remembering it and being able to reference it is going to be very, very important.
Well, you've definitely sold me on this game.
Yeah. Like I said, I had no idea going in it was a Souls-like, and if I had known that beforehand, I probably would have like wrote the game off as something that I was not interested in, because I have played all of these different Souls-likes and never once have I found one that really intrigued me in a way that overcame my frustration with the difficulty. And this is the first one. I think going in blind really helped, other than people saying this is a really good game, because it's just been so fun in the few hours that I played to just explore and discover things and not have the game like telling me where to go all the time.
Yeah, that's cool.
So like, that's one of my big things that I don't like about a lot of modern open world games, is that it's just like it's a marker fest. It's like, go here, go here, go here, go here. And this is what you're going to find when you get there. And like, that's great when you have these massive open worlds that are full of shit to do and you don't know where stuff is, and you know, there's no like reason to go and explore, but at the same time, like, let me just discover stuff.
Yeah. I like that.
You know, so, but I highly recommend playing Tunic. It is a fantastic game. The little bit that I've played so far, and I intend to play much more Tunic going forward.
Yeah, I will probably actually get it right after this podcast.
And it is free on the Game Pass.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Yes, yeah. It is. It is free on the Game Pass, so I'll just use the Game Pass.
Yeah, so if you have Game Pass, it is free. It's on PC, it's on Xbox. So if you have a Game Pass, it is
it's cake.
It's free.
Nice. I will be getting it.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
I feel like that would be a great Souls game for you to try.
Yeah.
I think so. I agree with you. My fault.
Thank you.
My fault.
Mm-hmm. I think I would like it. Especially since y'all ruined Sims for me now. If I never get back on Sims, I'm going to be so mad at both of y'all. I'm going to be upset. Because that's like literally probably my second favorite game.
It's okay.
Yeah. When you're not on one day, I'll just hop on and kill your sim and save.
You better not.
No, I would never.
I would be so mad. I would be so mad.
I definitely like this. I like The Sims a lot. It's fun. You know, it's just, it's not Tunic. That's all.
Tunic.
I got this game in my head and it's just like, I just want to keep playing. But sadly, it's good. It's real good.
Go ahead. Go play some. Chase and I got this.
Yeah.
I'll just keep playing. You guys go ahead.
What do you got from here?
You know, just let me know when you're done and I'll edit it and put it up.
Sounds great.
Sounds, yeah. See you.
No, there's some shit here I want to talk about, okay?
You said I'm in charge. We can about to wrap this up in 30 more minutes.
Oh my God. There's at least an hour's worth of stuff in here. Don't underscore it. Come on now.
Oh no, I'm not underscoring it.
Unbelievable.
Well, with that, we'll move on to the news where if there was any week to be PlayStation Week, this sure as fuck was it.
Yes.
Because half the fucking stories that I've put into the doc this week are PlayStation stories, and that is not on purpose. I just want to be like, I didn't go out of my way to sideline Xbox stories or whatever. It's just, this was a big week for Sony and the PlayStation. So, first up, last week, some people were really pissed off because Gran Turismo 7 fucking broke. Went down for 30 hours, and the patch that came out afterwards fucked up some shit and changed how much rewards people get from races and made the game more grindy, and people felt like the goal was to get people to spend more money on microtransactions. Well, Polyphony Digital has responded to that, and they're awarding all players 1 million free in-game credits.
That's not bad.
I don't know if it's a lot because I don't play this game. Based on some of the car prices that I'm looking at, it doesn't seem like a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Like I'm just looking at the Polygon article. I'm looking at some of the legend cars, and there's like a 1989 Mercedes C9. It's 3 million credits.
Sheesh.
And, you know, a Porsche 917K from 1970 is 18 million credits.
My Lanta, 18 million?
18 million credits. So they gave everybody a million free credits, which is enough to buy it's enough to buy four Mangusta 69s, which are 245,000 credits apiece. So if you really want to do that, you can buy four of those. But they are going to they're going to be making some additional changes. They apologize for the frustration that the patch caused, and they are going to if you log in before April 25th, you will get, let me rephrase. If you bought a copy of the game prior to March 25th and you log in before April 25th, you get those million free credits. So the idea that they had was that they wanted people to, they would decrease the race rewards because they didn't want people to grind stuff out over and over and over again. That was the idea. But it, right, had the opposite effect because people are just grinding shit out to get the credits anyway. So it just made them have to do it more. But basically, they're going to provide more accurate rewards based on time investment. And they're going to do some other things to the game to kind of, I guess, make up for it.
So sweet of them.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is that the Porsche 919 hybrid would cost you $40 if you were to buy credits through the PlayStation Store.
$40.
And that is a car that can be bought for $299 in the previous Gran Turismo game.
Jeez.
And the 1970 Porsche 917, which costs 18 million credits, would cost you $180 to buy.
Oh my gosh.
If you don't grind out the credits.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's almost a little disrespectful, like, to the people who have been playing it.
It's disrespectful to them. It's disrespectful to their time.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I don't know if you guys know about Rocket League's marketplace, but there's certain things in Rocket League that if you transfer it to a credit ratio, it's like $200 for that one wheel. It's crazy. And people sell that shit on eBay. Like, they'll get the item,
and
they'll put it on eBay. Because, I mean, why That's spend crazy. Money on credits to buy the item from somebody else when you could just buy it straight up for cash and save technical money, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. But so a little off topic, but, you know.
No, I mean, it's not off topic because this is the kind of shit that games do these days. You know, it's – and for something like Rocket League, which – granted, wasn't free to play for a very long time, but is now. Mm. Like, they have to make money somehow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little less, it's still slimy when they do shit like that, but it's a little less slimy when the game is free to play. When a game costs $70 motherfucking, and then on top of that, they're like, you can play the game for God knows how long to grind out these credits, or you can pay us another $180 and you can just get them and buy this fucking car. I mean, it's like, I already spent $70 on this. Why the fuck do I need to spend more money?
Exactly.
So they are adding stuff. So in the near term, they're going to bring an update which will let you sell your cars from your garage to other players for in-game income. You'll also be able to play new events, 24-hour endurance races, and online time trials to give you more options to earn rewards. In order to address frustrations over scarcity, they're going to increase the number of cars available to buy from the rotating lineups of the used and legend car dealerships at any time. They're going to increase rewards for online races and completion of circuit experience challenges. 1-hour endurance races will be added, like I said. Non-paid credit players can hold in their wallets will be increased from 20 million to 100 million. So they're introducing a whole lot of changes to kind of like be like, we're listening. We're sorry.
We're trying.
But
please don't play Forza Horizon.
Well, they don't want you to have bought an Xbox, so they're probably not worried about that.
Yeah. Too much.
But
I always forget about that, which games don't overlap and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the number of games that are not overlapping is weirdly increasing. And I don't quite get that because back in the PS2 days, it was very common for games to be like, we're only on Xbox or we're only on GameCube. And then like 90% of it was we're only on PlayStation. And then with the 360 and the PS3, that kind of changed, and everybody kind of started going everywhere except for Nintendo, because Nintendo was all doing its own thing.
And they always will, I think.
Yeah, you know, Sony and Xbox are like, we're the fastest gaming console of all time, and Nintendo's like, I'm drawing on the wall with crayons. So, you know, that's kind of what happened. But, you know, like, it was a big fucking deal when Grand Theft Auto 4 was announced as a cross-platform game, and when Final Fantasy 13 was announced as a cross-platform game. And you fast forward to 2022, and the next Final Fantasy game is only coming to PlayStation and PC, but it's only coming to PlayStation on console. Grand Theft Auto 5, which just got re-released for fucking Xbox and PS5, the PS5 version of that game, the online, is free for the next 3 months, and it's $10 on Xbox, and the actual full-ass game is $10 on PS5 and $20 on Xbox.
Oh, wow. So
it's cheaper on the PlayStation. So there's, like, we're starting to see that shit come back. And part of it is just Xbox buying fucking everybody. And that Sony counter. Responding in kind by buying fucking everybody. But yeah, so it's hard to stay on top of that. Trust me.
Yeah.
I get that. So... If you're still playing Gran Turismo, I guess good for you.
Congrats.
You know.
One of the few, maybe?
It's just, I just don't understand where this, where this came from. Why this decision was made to do things this way. Mm. But where there's a will, there's a way, because the community figured out a way to get around this in the most, super awesome way possible, which was, there was a script that was released that you could download on your PC, and all it required you to do was turn on your PlayStation, set up Remote Play with the Remote Play app on Windows, install this script. The script would interface with the Remote Play app and would basically run races nonstop for you.
Stop.
Well, you did absolutely nothing.
Okay. I have a little piece real quick.
People were earning millions of credits a day doing that.
So when Forza Horizon first came out, Forza was really big. I think we had a conversation, but Forza is really big about handicappedness and people who can't, kids. I think we had this conversation. Kids who don't know what they're doing, you could turn on handicapped where it automatically just drives and stays on the road. Well, if you tape your controller down, it drives for you. And you can, I left a race going for 30 hours or 24 hours or something like that.
I remember that.
Walked away with 13 million credits.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like those are the best though. You just kind of go to work, come back, and then you have all these credits to just mess around with on these cars. It's cool. Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah. So, but no, it's this script is just it's great because it's basically turned fucking GT currency into a new crypto. And your PC is just mining fucking GT7
currency
credits. But it also exposed something which is also fucking bullshit. Which is that they talked about how they're increasing the amount of earned credits that you can now have from 20 million to 100 million. Well, here's just one more fucking thing, and then we'll move on to the next story. In the base game of that, in the base version of GT7, you had a limit of 20 million credits that you could earn before you were capped and you had to spend them. That limit only applied to currency you earn in the game and did not apply to currency you purchased.
Mm.
So if you bought credits from the PlayStation Store, that was counted as part of it, but it was a separate pool. So that didn't count towards your 20 million credit limit, which again is incentivizing people to pay money. Mm-hmm. They've now increased that to 100 million earned credits that you can hold in your wallet at any given time. But if you want more than that, you will still have to buy fucking
Sad.
Dang. Yeah.
So I will be investing all of my money into GT coin.
GT coin, like it's GT, a Doge coin.
Yeah, GT coin. And I'll download the script and get started. I don't own the game. But yeah, so I don't know if Sony's going to do anything to stop this particular roundabout loophole that people have come up with.
It'd be funny if they didn't.
But I don't think they can.
Ooh.
Because honestly, it basically is just a function of how remote play works. Mm. The only thing that I could see them doing is being like, we're going to have some sort of anti-cheat on the remote play client that detects whether or not you're playing, running external scripts or stuff. But, we'll see. But I don't think they'll do anything because you can't do anything with those credits anyway, and there's still a cap. So I don't think they'll do anything. So, but yeah, Gran Turismo 7, still a shit show.
Gran Turismo 7.
Speaking of shit shows, Spartacus, the fucking Sony alternative to Game Pass, Bloomberg released an article that as early as the week we are currently in, we will be seeing their new PlayStation Plus service tiers. There was a leak that I saw on Twitter that I don't think is true that showed 4 tiers of fucking service that ranged anywhere from $9.99 every 3 months to $60 every 3 months.
Jesus.
And that was basically just a range of service options. And the current existing PlayStation Plus offering was nowhere to be found. And it was basically replaced with some other things. But yeah, so that should be coming out this week. Maybe. Maybe not. Bloomberg said, maybe. We'll see. I'm going to pull up that tweet really quick. And
you're going to pull it up?
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up so I can see exactly what was in there, because it was an interesting collection of stuff. So PlayStation Now will merge with PlayStation Plus on April 7th, 2022. That's what this is saying. Choose a 1, 3, or 12-month recurring payment plan for each tier and take your PlayStation experience to the next level. Each tier of PlayStation Plus Neo comes with multiple subscription benefits. The reason I think this is bullshit, in addition to the fucking prices and the fact that there's 4 tiers, is the names. So you have PlayStation Plus Bronze, which is online play and free game demos. And that is the one that is $9.99 every 3 months. That's seems like a fine subscription option.
Yes.
Doesn't seem that crazy.
Yeah.
PlayStation Plus Silver, which is $30 every 3 months. And that is online play, free game demos, and game streaming, which I assume is PlayStation Now, basically. And then PlayStation Plus Gold. That's the reason I think this is bullshit.
PlayStation Plus Gold.
PlayStation Plus Gold.
That is a lawsuit.
Is $39.99 every 3 months. That includes online play, free game demos, game streaming, monthly free games, and monthly store discounts. So that is basically PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now merged together. And then PlayStation Plus Platinum, which includes all of the stuff from PlayStation Plus Gold, plus exclusive offers at the PlayStation Store, and the second reason that I think this is bullshit, access to select PS3, PS4, PS5 title streaming. And that's $60 every 3 months. So basically, PlayStation Plus Gold comes with game streaming. PlayStation Plus Platinum comes with game streaming and, get this, more game streaming.
That sounds like it's worth the money.
Sounds like it might be worth the money. So $60 every 3 months, that works out to about the $20 a month that people were thinking that the highest tier version of this might cost. But I don't fuck with this because PlayStation Now already includes PS3 and PS4 games for streaming and PS4 games for download. And so I don't know what, you know, and I would assume PS5 titles would be added to that eventually. I don't get why that's separated off from game streaming. I don't quite understand why that would be its own separate thing. So we shall see.
We shall. Well, I won't because I don't have a PlayStation. But
well, yes. Some of us don't have PlayStations, so I shall see.
Yes, you shall see. I shall hear more.
But we shall see this week if that's what they announce.
Yes.
So additionally announced from PlayStation this week is they have acquired another studio. This time they acquired Haven Studios, which is a Canadian game developer. I believe it's based out of Montreal. I could be wrong on the location there. But this is a studio that was started by Jade Raymond. She used to work for Ubisoft. And she, it's based out of Montreal. She was responsible for Beyond Good and Evil, and she worked on the original Assassin's Creed game.
That's cool.
She has a fairly good pedigree in the history of games. She left Ubisoft. She went to Google for a little while, where she worked to lead up their first-party games division for Stadia. And then when Google shut that down, she and some of the ex-Google games people went and started the studio where they were working on a live service game for PlayStation. And I guess Sony liked what they saw because they have now embraced them into the PlayStation family.
Yes, the Sony crew.
Yes, the Sony
crew. Maybe they can get Tom Holland to come sign stuff at their office. You never know. You never know. Sony could pull some strings.
I mean, Tom Holland does seem to have a close working relationship with Sony Pictures. I don't.
Same thing.
I don't know if that extends to the entirety of Sony. But yeah, so another game developer snatched up in the increasingly consolidated world of game developers.
At this point, when do they become a monopoly?
At this point, I think that we just have to wait and see.
Yes. I feel like they're on the verge, you know.
They're working their way. They're making their way.
I think they've made it and they're just poking it with sticks and seeing how long it takes to react.
I mean, the difference between Sony and Microsoft in this respect. Sony is technically the bigger game publisher. Like, they publish more games than Microsoft does. But Sony makes the PlayStation, and they make games for the PlayStation, and they work with other developers to make games for the PlayStation that aren't in the PlayStation Studios family.
Right.
But that's it. They also make games for PC years after they've come out on PlayStation. Mm. Meanwhile, Microsoft makes the Xbox. They make Windows. And so they have a lot more sway in terms of what they're able to do in terms of damage. And they're not buying individual studios anymore. Like, Sony is still
company, right?
Sony is still going around and buying, like, Bungie and Haven and Insomniac. And they're buying, like, individual companies, like individual game developers, whereas Microsoft's going around and being like Activision and Blizzard and, you know, Bethesda,
yes,
which are these big companies that have game studios underneath them. And so it's like you're buying out your competitors less so than you're buying out teams that you like and want to work with.
Monopoly.
Yes. which is a little bit different than what Sony's doing. I think Sony just doesn't have the money to be able to do that.
Didn't they just make bank with the Spider-Man movie? I don't want to hear it.
I mean, yes, but that's Sony Pictures. It's
just borrow some funds. It's like a neighbor.
I mean, in terms of what divisions keep Sony afloat, it's PlayStation and Sony Pictures. Those are the two divisions that make them the most money.
You're not wrong.
So I think TVs is up there, and like maybe their camera division does a lot of money, and they own an insurance.
Yeah, true.
So
they own insurance
in Japan. Sony owns a Japanese insurance company. It's called Sony Insurance. I'm pretty sure.
Sony Insurance.
Yeah, Sony Insurance. So Sony is like a big Japanese conglomerate.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things. Internationally, they're more of an electronics company, but in Japan, they are like a bank and an insurance company and all these things.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Japan loves Sony.
They do. And Sony loves updates because they're releasing another set of updates for the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
Yay, I'm so excited.
These rolled out earlier in the week.
Let me go update my invisible PlayStation real quick.
And so they're bringing some UI updates to the PlayStation 5's game base, which is the pop-up menu that pops up when you press the PlayStation button. And in the US and the UK, they're bringing a voice command preview so you can open games, apps, settings, control media playback with your voice, English only currently. And they're also allowing you to create and join open and closed parties on PS5 and PS4. So you've been able to create parties, but now you'll be able to create open parties and closed parties. You know, one of those things that is definitely like, should have been there before. But okay, whatever.
Cool.
They're also rolling out the ability for PlayStation app users to create those open and closed parties through the app, updating the UI to make it easier to access friends, parties, and messaging features, and remote play users can now enjoy a dark mode. Dark mode! Yes! And choose from new screen reader languages.
Ooh.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
The dark mode that you're so excited about?
What? You don't know what dark mode is?
Dark mode. On your phone?
Dark mode? When it just goes like black instead of white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yes.
What?
I have my phone dark mode.
iPhone's dark mode 100%.
Yeah.
Dark mode or bust. Like if I have an app that doesn't support dark mode, I don't want to use it.
Really? Okay, yeah. Sorry, I'm the only one, I guess. My bad. Carry on. maybe it means something else because he's really excited.
Yeah, no, I love dark mode, and apps that don't have dark mode I don't like to use. So I'm happy that the remote play app, which I don't use, has dark mode on it.
Okay.
Very exciting.
Yes. Additionally, they rolled out the ability to access your screenshots and videos in the PlayStation app on mobile in more countries. So that's a feature that's kind of rolling out over time so that you can quickly share them. And then finally, they announced, not when it's coming, but that it is coming in the future, in the near future. They are going to be rolling out the highly anticipated variable refresh rate update for PS5. So that's coming. Sometime later this year.
Nice.
Which is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Nice.
Yeah.
They do like their updates.
They do like their
updates. Sounds like it.
Yeah. So variable refresh rate, that's only been on PC and Xbox Series S and X. And it was one of those things that Microsoft was like, oh yeah, the PlayStation can't do it because they're using a GIMPed fucking GPU or whatever. And now Sony's like, actually, we just didn't have it ready yet. And we're putting it out.
Nice.
But it's a great feature for games that can't quite hit their frame rate targets. And it'll be extra useful for people who want to play their games in supported games that have 120 frames per second modes. Because those games very rarely hit 120 frames per second. So if you have a supported TV that supports VRR, it will kind of make that look better. and you don't, games don't have to do anything to support it. Games can be optimized for it. And there's an option to enable it to work in unsupported games, which basically is just like a toggle to just turn it on 100% of the time. And it will be, you can disable it. I imagine that there might be a handful of games, like there has been on the Xboxes, where the feature may cause issues. But for the most part, set it and forget it.
Yep.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's nice.
It's great. It's great.
I will continue to enjoy my PC and Xbox.
You know what? I will enjoy my PC and my PlayStation.
I would love to get a PlayStation, Tyler? But I'm not trying to spend that much money. And that they're so difficult to get to.
They are difficult to get. Both of them are difficult to get. Still. Yeah,
I was going to say, I tried to find some kind of, honestly, any kind of console for you for Christmas, and I could find nothing. So I was like, well, I guess it's not meant to be.
That's okay. I do enjoy my PC.
Well, that's good. I got you the chair you're sitting in, so.
Very true. Very true.
It's a high quality chair.
Yeah. So hopefully people will be able to get these consoles eventually, because
it'd be nice. I need a new one. Mine's old.
We're starting to get to the point where, like, you know,
it's like, all right, joke's over.
I want games to be able to take advantage of these consoles in meaningful ways, and we still aren't 100% there yet. And so, until you can walk into a Best Buy and buy one, I think there's going to be an urge to be like, oh, well, you know, we want to make sure our game reaches the most number of people possible. So we're still going to release versions on PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
I think it'll be like that for a little bit.
Yeah. So, but yes, Sony likes their updates, and there's more system updates for the PlayStation releasing this week and more coming in the future. Ooh. And someone that doesn't like updates but occasionally releases them is Nintendo. when they remember how the internet works, they'll release an update to the Switch, and they added a new update, version 14.0.
14.0.
Yes, and the main feature of version 14.0 is groups, aka folders.
Folders? So,
yes, you can now organize the games on your Switch in the all software screen. So not on the home screen, but on the all software screen. You can now organize your games into groups. And for different genres, developers, franchises, whatever, you can have up to 100 groups, each group containing up to 200 games. That's a lot of games that you can shove in a folder.
True.
I mean, that's pretty cool though.
Yeah, no, it's great for organizing if you have a ton of games on your Switch, but like, how big is your SD card? Shit.
200 games.
That's true.
Like a brick.
That's if you filled up 100 groups with 200 unique games per group. That's a ton of fucking games. That's 20,000 games on your fucking Switch.
Jeez.
I highly doubt there are 20,000 games on the Switch, let alone 20,000 games somebody is going to install.
Have space for? Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, man, you're stretching that 2 terabyte SD card at that point, like. I have a 256 gig SD card in mind, maybe a 128. I can't remember exactly what I bought. And like,
sheesh.
It's not even like a third full because I don't have a ton of games on my Switch.
That's for the dedicated Switch players.
I think it's for the Switch only players. Like the people.
Yeah, maybe.
They have a Switch and nothing else. And they're patiently waiting for Elden Ring to come out. On
the Switch. Yeah. Keep waiting. Keep waiting.
Yeah, keep waiting. Although, I mean, it runs on the Steam Deck. But the Steam Deck is way more powerful than the Switch, so but it might be doable. Additionally, they added support for they adjusted Bluetooth audio support to now allow you to adjust the volume of Bluetooth audio devices.
Ooh, that feel like that should have been a thing, but all right.
Through the volume buttons on the Bluetooth audio device. So originally, in order to increase or decrease the volume of your Bluetooth headphones, you had to use the audio buttons on the Switch. Now you'll be able to use the audio buttons on the headphones as well.
That was not a thing already?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised it wasn't a thing already.
Listen, let's just be glad Nintendo actually supports Bluetooth headphones, something that neither of the other consoles do.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
We're just a little picky, I guess.
Thank you, Nintendo. I will be so grateful to use my Bluetooth headphones while playing Mario Party.
Yeah. Thank you, Nintendo.
Yeah.
That was sarcasm, Ariel.
I was joining you.
Okay.
I was joining you in sarcasm.
And and to make sure that you don't blow your eardrums out when you first connect a pair of Bluetooth headphones, they will reduce volume on first connection.
Thankful.
They have now increased the maximum volume that you can set your Bluetooth headphones to. So Nintendo Switch folders and volume.
Good job, Nintendo.
That's where they're at with updates.
So wholesome. So wholesome updates. Looking out for their customers.
Yes. And one thing, again, you can't use folders except on the all software screen. And the all software screen is only displayed when you have 13 or more games installed on the Switch. So if you are someone with only like 12 games on the Switch, you can't use folders.
That's probably why. Well,
to be honest, if you only have 12 or less, do you really need the folders?
Maybe. Yes. Make it look pretty.
What? What are you going to do? Two folders?
I don't think you can put folders on the home screen, even if you do have the all software button. I think it just lets you put games and folders on that screen. But then when you load a game up, it'll go to the front of the Switch home screen so you can still jump into the game quickly. I don't know. I didn't use folders on my PS4. And I don't use them on my PC. And like I have some Steam categories set up, but they're like generic. Like, what games am I currently playing? And what games do I have installed? Things like that. But I don't have, like... I'm not big on folders.
I'm not either.
For organizing. Like, it's nice, but...
I just don't have enough games.
I don't have enough games installed. I used to be bad about, like, leaving games installed. Even if I wasn't playing them. And I'm getting a lot better about nuking them from my system when I'm done. Just being like, yeah, nope. Bye.
Well, all the games I've ever played or looked at are still installed, and I still just don't have enough games. I just started gaming, and y'all know I only play one at a time.
Sims. Yeah.
No, Sims and Civ.
And... I mean, I have 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21 games installed on my PC right now.
Sheesh.
I probably have like literally like 7.
I probably have like 30 plus. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty bad about deleting them.
You have a lot.
Yeah. And then I have a bunch installed on my PS5 and PS4 games on the external hard drive. I have a lot. But for the most part, I try to keep the number of games installed to a minimum just to make it easier to fucking find them when I want to play.
Don't blame you then.
So now we're going to transition out of updates and in to what the world might look like in a FIFA-less video game future.
Ooh.
Because the report is out. EA Sports is likely to finally move forward with a FIFA-less soccer game.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, what now?
So FIFA, EA Sports' soccer game.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, football.
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 That game has been, EA has had the license for FIFA games for damn near 30 years.
Yeah, forever.
And apparently they are at an impasse with FIFA on licensing. My understanding is EA wants to do more with the license, and FIFA doesn't want them to do more with the license. So, and FIFA wants more money, apparently, or EA wants more money. One of the two. I forget how that works out. But somebody wants more money, and EA wants to do more with the license, and they're not being allowed to do it. So they've kind of been in a backroom argument for a little while, and apparently the reporting has now shifted to...
they're getting a divorce.
They're getting a divorce. The interesting thing with this recent update is that originally the FIFA 23... which is this year's FIFA game, was going to be the last FIFA game. However, they have now removed FIFA from their upcoming EA Sports coming this fall slate of video games.
Oh my gosh.
Which could mean that FIFA will be gone sooner than we think.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
We have FIFA at home.
We have FIFA at home, and the FIFA at home may be called EA Sports Football Club.
Trash.
That's gross.
Possibly shortened to EA Sports FC.
EA Sports Soccer. It's not football.
So, soccer is a very North American term.
I know. That's so, how I said it.
It's globally known when somebody says soccer that that's what they mean.
Right.
So, but I think EA is probably going to want to call it, EA Sports Football Club or EA Sports FC, because that might resonate more internationally.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the first time that a game had this, had different names in different parts of the world. If they called it EA Soccer in the U.S. and Football Club internationally, but less differences means less shit you gotta change for each version of the game, less stuff you gotta worry about when you're updating it. So yeah.
Football. To summarize it.
Yes. So, interesting that EA has not announced this change publicly yet, as if they're maybe hoping for a Hail Mary with FIFA.
It's just rumored currently?
Well, I mean, it's just that apparently, according to Jeff Grubb, which is where all of this is coming from, is that an announcement and trailer had been planned for this month. And that is no longer the case. So it would make sense for them to get out in front of this and just be like, yep, we're for the 30th year of football games or soccer games, we're no longer going to be working with FIFA.
Mm. That sucks.
So, additionally, there's been some rumors that FIFA may launch its own internally developed FIFA branded soccer game.
No shot.
So we're gonna have
two different soccer games.
We could have two different soccer games.
No shot. That would be great.
Yes, but the thing is EA has already gone through the trouble of licensing stadiums and players and teams versus. The only license they're really losing is FIFA.
Yeah.
And all of the strings that come attached with the FIFA license that they're trying to unburden themselves from. FIFA would have to also go and license a lot of that stuff separately if they wanted to use it in the video game context.
I was going to ask if they could use it.
Yeah, and EA may have like exclusivity contracts with a lot of those teams where it's like you're not allowed to put any, you're the sole video game property that's allowed to use our branding.
Can they do that? Because I know with 2K and EA NBA Sports or whatever they call the trash EA basketball game. I know that they both have each other, like, different license. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, you just have to look at NFL. NFL has an exclusive license with
EA.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So EA is the only one that is allowed to make simulation football games. If you wanted to make like NFL Blitz or something like that, or some like street football, you know, or something like that, you could make that.
So we're stuck with shitty EA Madden games.
But NFL has an exclusive license with Madden. I don't know when that goes up, like if that's up for renewal anytime soon. But Madden does well enough that I don't think the NFL would be interested in trying to negotiate that.
Yeah.
You know, they may try to negotiate for more money, and EA will probably negotiate to keep it at the same rate. But NFL, again, NFL used to be something that was licensed to both 2K and EA.
Yeah.
You had 2K's NFL games, ESPN, I think it was ESPN 2K football or something like that. Or ESPN NFL 2K.
2K football.
It might have been ESPN NFL 2K or something. I don't remember, but it's been a long time. My dad used to play those, and he preferred the 2K games to the EA ones.
I probably would too.
But yeah. So FIFA is no more.
FIFA no more.
That's we crazy. Have new
FIFA at home.
FIFA is gone. Get ready for Football Club.
Football Club.
So something that isn't done, Grand Theft Auto Online. Still going strong.
Surprisingly.
Fucking goddamn. Almost 10 motherfucking years old.
Yeah. I think it's still bumping.
I could not believe that when I was watching something and they were talking about how that game is almost 10 years old. That game came out in September of 2013.
I remember when it came out.
I remember waiting in line at GameStop in the middle of the fucking night for that game.
I think I pre-ordered it.
You know, I pre-ordered it too.
And I think I went digitally and pre-ordered
in line and bought that game and got it at midnight and went home and played it for hours. It was a great game. So, GTA Online is going to soon have a monthly subscription service. This will be an optional thing. It's not like you're not going to be able to play the game if you want to pay it. It's $5.99 a month, and it is called GTA Plus. yes.
Sorry. Go ahead. It's just, that's funny.
Introducing ABXY Plus.
ABXY Plus, just $1 a day.
You can listen to our podcast. That's a lot of money.
I know.
I don't even think we're worth $30 a month yet. Like, maybe eventually. For the low price of $5 a month, you too can you can watch us record the podcast.
Oh. Behind the scenes.
And behind the scenes. And for $10 a month, you get access to my feet pics.
Oh. This is where Ariel signs off. Good night, y'all.
She hasn't said anything for like 30 minutes, and you said feet, and right when you said feet, she freaked out.
First of all, it has not been 30 minutes.
An ABXY cast only fans.
ABXY. I am not involved. Fans. I am not involved.
ABXYOF. OF plus gold. ABXYOF plus gold.
Beautiful.
For just $10 a month.
$10 a month.
Anyway, if you're playing Grand Theft Auto Online and you want some monthly bonuses and items and upgrades and discounts, you can pay $6 a month. This is exclusive to Grand Theft Auto Online on PS5 and Xbox Series consoles. So if you're playing on a PS4 or an Xbox One, no subscription for you.
Aww.
Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah, so the first month, March 29th through April 27th, you will get $500,000 GTA dollars delivered automatically to your bank account. Some other shit that is, like, cool, whatever. waived LS Car Meet membership fees. If you're already an LS Car Meet member, you'll get reimbursed 50,000 GTA dollars.
Oh.
You can upgrade your yacht to the Aquarius Super Yacht at no additional cost.
Ooh.
You can buy, you'll automatically get the Goosey Frog Tee and the Broker Prolapse basketball top.
Jesus Christ. Oh, wow.
And shorts.
And some shorts. Let's go.
You'll get a selection of free paints and emblems at the auto shop. 3x GTA dollars and RP on Howe's Special Works Race Series. And 2x Car Meet Rep on the Street Race Series.
Ooh,
Street Race!
No. that was funny.
And yeah, so lots of other things. You can also, you'll also own the auto shop located in La Mesa. Gameplay updates from Los Santos Tuners and current auto shop owners can relocate to La Mesa at no additional cost. Why?
It's beautiful.
Why?
Why what?
Why?
I'm sold.
Why? Why?
I am sold.
You have resold this game 4 motherfucking times. Like, you sold it on PlayStation 3, you sold it on PlayStation 4, you sold it on PC, and now you're selling it on PS5 and equivalent Xbox consoles. Why do I now, why do people now, like, obviously it's optional, but still, why? Are you not making enough money on shark cards already?
They are making bank.
They're making billions of dollars on shark cards. Like, tons of fucking money.
Yeah, I hear him looking it up. Tons of fucking money. He's like, hold on, let me check. How much?
So
how
much?
Upset. $500 million a year.
Off shark cards.
Wow.
Is that the most selling game of all time?
It's up there.
Well, I guess the most grossing game is what I should say.
It's probably up there. So according to the Wikipedia, which we know never lies.
Of course.
About anything. The best selling game of all time. This is just total of units. There's not really a breakdown of
can how I much guess
money. Go ahead, take a wild stab.
Let me go with Minecraft.
It's not a hard guess now, is it? in a somewhat distant second, so Minecraft has sold 238 million copies.
That's a lot of copies.
It's a lot of copies. In a distant second, with 160 million copies. Anyone want to take a wild stab?
One sec.
Without looking.
I'm not. I'm thinking. I'm thinking. I guess I'll say that's GTA. No, I'll say that's GTA.
GTA 5?
Yeah.
You would be correct.
Okay.
Wow. And yes, it's a lot. It's a lot. People buy that game. That game has been, like I said, in the top 5 best-selling games every month since it came out.
How? Who doesn't own GTA?
So the problem is there's always people aging into Grand Theft Auto. There are always children who one day cannot play it and the next day can. And what do they buy? Grand Theft Auto 5. And that's it is very much the Minecraft situation. There are always new kids being born growing up into ages appropriate to play Minecraft. And so there's always new players. So as long as there's always new players, there's always new copies to be sold. Because only for so long do mommy and daddy want the kids to play on their system. Eventually, they're like, here's your own Xbox or your own PlayStation in your own fucking room. Go in there and play whatever the fuck, Roblox or whatever shit
kids whatever are you playing fucking play.
Grand Theft Auto V is estimated to have brought in about $6 billion in worldwide revenue.
Oh, my.
Since it launched. And that is, I'm assuming, specifically just through one-time purchases.
And that is why GTA 6 is taking so long to make. They that shit good.
GTA Online is the reason that GTA 6 is taking forever, because it's making so much money. But my thing is, GTA Online, just like, you just have a new version of GTA Online, transfer all your shit over when GTA 6 comes out. Like, there's no reason that they can't do that.
Right.
Also, games take forever to make now. So, speaking of games that take forever to make, I did forget to put this in the doc. CD Projekt Red announced that they are working on a new series of Witcher games. Yes, I did not put that in the doc. I completely forgot. It slipped my mind. They announced that they are moving to Unreal Engine 5 and not using their own in-house engine anymore. Which, after the clusterfuck that was Cyberpunk, I don't blame them. No information on it at all, except that they're working on it. So, yeah.
Ariel, you know what Witcher is?
I know the TV show.
TV show is based on the books that the games are based off of, and I didn't know there were books for forever.
I didn't know there were books. I knew it was based off something, but I thought it was...
I'm having deja vu.
I feel like we've said this before.
We've had this conversation.
Oops, sorry.
It went exactly like I think I went, Ariel, you know what Witcher is? And then you said no, and then Tyler corrected it with the books. Yeah, the conversation went just like that.
I didn't say no.
You said the TV show, I guess. My fault. Yeah. My fault.
Yeah, I'm the one that's like, the TV show based on the books that are based on the fucking... that the games are based off of. And then, I didn't know there were books for a long time. I just...
Dang.
Yeah. But yeah, GTA Online, now with your dank new subscription for six... Bank. Your dank new subscription. Bank. Dank new bank. Subscription.
They're getting $5.99.
You are trying to ruin my dang ass segue to Snoop Doggy Dog.
Ooh.
So the DOGG is coming to Warzone and Vanguard in April as part of a Snoop Dogg operator bundle. We didn't talk about this. I apparently missed this last week, and somebody brought it to my attention. They were like, "You didn't talk about the DOGG." Coming to motherfucking Call of Duty. And so for that person, there you go. We talked about it.
There. Congrats.
Congratulations. The Snoop blog, as Call of Duty put it, here's your initial intel on the Call of Duty Mobile and Call of Duty Vanguard and Call of Duty Warzone Snoop Dogg operator bundles. Whew. That's a lot of words.
That is a lot of words.
So what?
Snoop DOGG is coming Snoop to Call of Duty. That's all you need to know.
How?
As a playable like character model. So
you
can run around as Snoop Lion, as he was called for a period of time.
I don't want to run around as him. I want to like shoot some people while I'm listening to his songs.
So well, you can shoot people and listen to him talk. Yeah. Because he recorded voice lines.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. But of course, Snoop Dogg had to talk about this. So he said that the DOGG is back in Call of Duty. And this time I'm in the freaking game. Excited to be working with the COD team to bring some fly features for you all to enjoy. It's dope. Y'all can play as me and get these sick items that have Snoop written all over them. Check it out.
Gosh, Snoop is a legend.
So you can get some Snoop Dogg in your fucking Call of Duty War Vanguard. Your fucking World War II Call of Duty, now featuring Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
And Warzone, now featuring Snoop Dogg.
Snoop D-O-double-G.
So that is coming on April 19th. What a missed fucking opportunity.
What an absolute miss.
What
a miss. One day late.
One day early.
One day early.
Oh, one day early.
One day early. One day early. Weed stickers. They're going to have weed stickers on the guns.
Oh my goodness.
I'm surprised that Snoop wasn't like, hey, it's got to be one day later in my contract. Like,
yeah.
We can't negotiate that.
Especially because 419 is a Tuesday. Like, they could have dropped it on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. It's nothing not like they're dropping it at the end of the week. Yeah. Or beginning, either way.
There's absolutely nothing stopping them from dropping it on 420. They chose, you know why? Because they're going to put weed stickers on the guns and they didn't want people to think,
it's because it's 420.
420, yeah. Y'all. You probably already put weed stickers on the guns. I don't play Call of Duty Vanguard.
I don't either. Who does?
I got Warzone installed. But if it's anything I'll like the that. Rambo and John McClane fucking... skins, they were $20 a pop. So
they had Levi should... skins.
Huh?
They had Levi skins.
They had Levi. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Attack on Titan came to.
Oh yeah, that's right. Attack on Titan came to.
I
fucking...
didn't know that.
That yeah, was another one that I was like, what?
They had Levi and Reiner skins. Sorry to bring it to Attack on Titan, but we're on Call of Duty.
No, those, go that ahead. Kind of shit go makes ahead with the Attack on Titan.
In Fortnite, it makes sense in Smite. It does not make sense in Call of Duty.
I agree.
Yeah, like, I agree.
I agree. What but I fuck? Mean, any excuse to have Levi is fine. You know.
Yes. Weed stickers
and Aaron.
Weed stickers.
Weed stickers. Weed stickers on my fucking Aaron Yeager.
Oh gracious! Oh, I don't think those two go together.
I don't think they go together at all.
Daddy Levi running around with an M1 Garand powdered up in weed stickers with Snoop Dogg voice lines going, it's the D-O-double-G, motherfucker!
Oh my.
That just sounds like that wouldn't happen unless I was high. Like, it shouldn't like happen.
You got to roll one up and then it happens. Not
roll one up
exactly.
And play with Snoop Dogg and Call of Duty Vanguard. And Warzone and Call of Duty Mobile. So many Call of Duty fucking games that Snoop Dogg will be in. Oh my God.
Hey kids, don't do drugs.
Yeah, or you'll end up like Call of Duty.
Hey kids, don't do drugs, but plaster weed stickers everywhere.
Weed
on all
stickers.
Of your guns. On all of your guns. Ah, oh, man.
Oh, beautiful.
Warzone. I like Warzone.
Warzone. I haven't played it much.
I like it. It's great. I'm not going to run around as Snoop Dogg. The reason I like Warzone so much is there's no fucking building in Warzone. And guess what? There's a new mode in Fortnite, and there's no fucking building in it. Holla fucking Luya.
Are you going back to it?
Ugh, no.
I am not either.
I may download it in like, try it now that I don't have to worry about a fucking like carpenter Jesus going straight to the ceiling with their fucking, you know, quick built fucking tower of wood. Tower of wood. But apparently this surprise mode called No Builds LTM will now be available permanently. No Builds Battle Royale is what it should be called.
Hmm.
This is, of course, from some data mining of the game. It looks like that in the non-building modes will be permanent. Whether they will be always available or they will kind of rotate in regularly remains to be seen. But yeah, I thank fucking God.
Yeah.
I hate building in that game.
I despise it. Yeah. I despise it.
It just, like, I played Fortnite when it first came out.
I did too. Because
PUBG was broken, and I was like, I don't want to play PUBG because it doesn't run very well, and Fortnite runs great. And it was before the building meta. Like, building was there, but people didn't fucking do it because it was just complex and complicated. And then the fucking console version came out with that easy build shit, where you just hold a button and it just builds. And all of a sudden, it was like everybody and their mother was building giant fucking fortresses to the sky and fucking dick monuments. And it's like, I just want to shoot you. And now you're playing Legos and I'm playing a fucking battle royale. Like, get the fuck down here, kid.
No, mine was backwards. So I pre-ordered Fortnite for the story mode.
Oh, rip.
Because it looked fucking fantastic with the trailers. And then I started playing through it, and I got a good ways in the fucking story mode. And then they announced some battle royale that was coming as a beta.
They're like, JK, this is a battle royale now.
They were like, we're going to add a part of the game is going to be this battle royale. It's going to come to the people who bought the game first for like a 3-day beta, and then it's going to be free to play. And I remember being so pissed because I was like, I bought this fucking game and they're releasing a battle royale for it and it's free. Like, I shouldn't even bought the game, but the game is ass. The battle royale is probably better. And I played it, and I fucking loved it. That battle royale was awesome.
That battle royale for the first couple seasons was really good.
The beta was so good.
Yeah.
The 3-day beta, oh my gosh. No one knew what they were doing. So it was like, everything was so overpowered.
Yeah, nobody knew what they were doing, and everybody was just kind of making it up as they went along, and there was no building bullshit. You know, and then it got thrown in and it's like, okay, cool. I guess you're reusing some of the shit that your game was supposed to be originally. But like, it just sapped all the fun out of it for me.
Yeah. It sapped all the fun out of it for me too.
I was like, this is not what I signed up for. And I get that that's its whole shtick now, is like, that's the thing that differentiates it other than the fact that it's the battle royale that kids play. But like, Epic's now at the point, like, Fortnite is the most popular game on the planet. Full stop, no argument. It is the most popular video game on the planet. And they did that Fortnite thing where they were raising money for Ukraine. They raised $50 million in 3 days.
Sheesh.
Like, it is the most popular game on the planet. It is the largest game on the planet. It is the most played game on the planet. And the only way to get more people to play that game is to appeal to people who are not already playing your game. And the people who aren't playing your game are the
people who quit.
People who quit the game when you added this stupid fucking building mechanic that, you know, I personally didn't like. And so I get that that didn't stop the game from being the massive mega hit that it is.
Well, the building mechanic's always been there.
Yeah, well, like, when it became part of the meta of the game. Like, when I was playing Fortnite originally, people were building, but it was more like defensive structures. Like, I'm getting shot at, let me plop down a wall so I can, like, reposition. Or building smaller fortifications. It wasn't this fucking, like, build battle shit.
That shit dumb.
Like, and there was somebody on a Reddit thread that I was reading that was talking about how when they got back into it, you know, for a while before this mode rolled out, they played it like they play any other battle royale. They did very minimal building because they just weren't into that aspect of the game, and they made it very, very far into the game, and they ended up winning, which is fantastic that they won. But, like, the person they won against then harassed them after the fact because they didn't engage in a build battle and they didn't win properly. And it's like,
that's crazy.
They beat you. That is kind of crazy. The whole point is to kill the other players.
Yeah.
Like, it's not to build the best looking fortress. This, you know, this isn't, you know, home makeover.
Now, like, in the story, it is. You got to build a nice looking fortress.
But nobody gives a shit about the Fortnite story mode.
It's aight.
Like, you know, nobody cares. They only care about the Battle Royale. And so I may, like, re-download it and jump back in for a little bit, but I'm probably not going to re-devote a significant amount of time.
Oh, yeah, I won't either.
To it. Like, I've already found my Battle Royale itch scratchers. Apex and Warzone. I don't need anything else.
The grown-up ones.
The grown-up ones, exactly. The grown-up ones. So yeah. Now, games. Our thoughts on video games from a visual perspective. They look good, right? Yeah. Games look good.
They better.
Some games look
they better.
Some games look better than others. Some games look like ass. Game's about to look real fucking good.
Ray tracing Fables. We've already discussed
Ray traced Fables seem entirely plausible now. Just entirely plausible. So Unity is an engine that a lot of game developers use. It's one of the two big video game engines, that and Unreal. And this past week, they released a real-time 3D demo about how to create better digital humans in games. One of the biggest problems video games have is digital people. You know, it's the one area where games just fall fucking flat. And even movies have this problem. TV shows have this problem. When it comes to creating digital human beings, it's not easy. It's very hard. It's even harder to do it in real time, like a video game needs. But the main thing is that our eyes are really good and our brains are really good at seeing shit that is so small that you wouldn't consciously notice it, that it makes everything else seem fake. It's called the uncanny valley. So, you know, when you look at a digital human that looks almost real, it somehow looks even less real than something that's more cartoony or abstract or stylized, because your brain's just like, oh, no,
no. No, it's wrong.
Well, Unity has come the closest I have ever seen somebody come to making a digital human that looks almost indistinguishable from a real person. With their enemies demo, which is a very short demo on YouTube. It's literally like 2 minutes long. And it is a real-time cinematic rendered in engine. It looks like at 30 frames per second. Yeah. I highly recommend everybody go watch it.
Ray Traced Fables. What can I say?
Ray Traced fucking Faces.
Hey, like, yo, Fables. That's what matters.
Like, I mean, did you all watch this video? I posted it in the doc, so I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it. But if you haven't, you should check it out. Because holy shit.
Looks nice.
It doesn't just look nice. Like, you really just go to, like, let me find the timestamp. Like, about 50 seconds in or so. If you get to that part. And just look at the person.
Who is it?
It's nobody.
She's, like, curious, like, do I know them?
Just look at the person. It's a fake person.
Right. What time stamp is this?
50 seconds.
50 seconds.
And then just you watch through the rest of it. And it's like, it is a fake fucking person.
That's fake. That's fake.
That's a fake person.
That's not a fake person.
It is a fake person.
How?
As I said, games look good now.
How is that a fake person?
Looks fake to me.
Huh?
What?
Huh?
I'm joking.
When she starts talking and kind of like, you know, and you get really close in on her face and she's talking and everything like that, it starts, your brain starts to go, okay, something's not right, but your brain can't place what it is. So it starts to cross over into like, well, maybe it's just this person looks a little funky. And
that's good though.
But like then the very last frame of the fucking thing when she's just looking straight at the camera, there are moments in this, if you had just like told me this was a real person, I would have believed you.
That looks good.
And like, this is the second game demo I have seen in the last few months. The other one was the Matrix Awakens demo in December that have blown my fucking noodle on how fucking amazing they look. I just,
that's awesome.
Video games.
I can only imagine what they're going to develop into.
Like, I remember fucking pyramid boobies. Like, and that was state of the art.
He's talking about Lara Croft, by the way.
Lara Croft with her fucking, like, her entire chest was three polygons. Like, it was just boop, boop, and that was it. Like, you know.
That's very true.
Tony Hawk. Yeah, that's not a person. That is a blob of Play-Doh on a skateboard. Like, you know.
I've seen that. It is really just Play-Doh.
Like, I remember when video games looked like that, and that was mind-blowingly realistic. And now, we're in 2022, and fucking, man. I'm looking at that, and I can't tell if that's a fucking fake-ass person or the lady from the fucking space show I was watching the other day.
Technology moves fast.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
And then you look at, you know, like faces in video games that you're actually playing and you're like, come on, you can try harder than this.
Oh man. Please.
But I mean, it's crazy how far graphics have come, which is great for people like Ariel who like graphics are super important.
Yeah, like if it doesn't look good, why am I going to commit to hours staring at it?
Speaking of games that look good, Tyler, do you think Detroit Become Human is a good looking game?
Detroit Become Human is a very good looking game.
Yes, well, it is. She's gotten this game maybe, I don't know, 3 months ago, and I've been trying to get her to play
it. That was a while ago.
Yes, 3 or 4 months ago. I've been trying to get her to play it because it is a very, very beautiful game. And with a decent story.
It's a very pretty game. I haven't played it.
The only reason that I haven't played it is, well, I started it. I did like the first like little walkthrough. It's kind of like the tutorial, I guess. I don't know. It's like the first scenario. And I had to tweak with the settings. Well, Chase had to, you know, tweak with the settings. But I literally couldn't run it properly on my PC that I had at the time. So I had to wait till I upgraded to what I have now.
Yeah.
But then I just haven't. It's like one of those things that like you have to sit down for like at least 2 hours to play it. And to be honest, if I have 2 hours in one set block of the day where I could just sit down and play a game, that would be great. But I just don't.
It's
just so much going on. It's hard to sit down for even 2 hours to play a video game, you know?
With games like that, you have to devote, you have to make the time.
Exactly.
You just have to sit down and be like, all right, yeah. Tonight I'm playing Detroit Become. It's for me, right. It's the same for a lot of games. Like even Forbidden West, like, that is a game that I would want, like, I would have to make myself sit down and be like, all right, I'm going to play for like 2 or 3 hours, because if I only sit down for like an hour, it's not the kind of game that I can really make any meaningful progress in an hour. You know, it's not like, it's not like Minecraft or something where you can drop in for an hour and make some progress on something, especially if you go in with an idea of what you want to do.
Well, I mean, the story only took me, not saying that this is short, but in the whole scheme of things, it only took me like 19 hours to beat the whole story.
Well, in the grand scheme of games in 2022, that is short.
That is short.
I don't think so.
Right? That is very short. It's, of course, I can go back and replay it because there's so many different choices. It would be like a completely different game.
Yeah.
But I feel like for when you purchase a game like that, you expect a little bit more than not even 20 hours of gameplay.
Yeah, but it's a very, for the type of game that Detroit Become Human is, like, the fact that it is 20 hours long is insane. Because that type of game is normally way shorter. You know, you're talking about, those types of games are usually like 8 to 12 hours.
So that's crazy.
Meanwhile, you have games like fucking Assassin's Creed Valhalla that are 60 goddamn hours long for no good goddamn reason.
No, I'm a pass on that.
Oh, man.
I am going to definitely pass on that.
We are not getting into that because I'll bust a blood vessel. That, like,
yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I'm a pass.
That game is, yeah, no. Like, and then you have games like Mass Effect that are like 20 to 30 hours. And then you have games like, you know, Uncharted that are like the earlier, like the first game's like 8 hours long. And then like the last game's like 16 hours long.
Right.
So like that's normal for a game to be in the 10 to 20 hour range. I think when you get under 10 hours, you have to be really good. Or not be $60 for me to feel like I got my time's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start creeping over, like for me personally, if a game starts creeping over 40 hours for the story, I start to be like, all right, unless the story is extremely like engaging and gripping, I start not necessarily bored. I start to get frustrated that the game is not respecting my time. As the player, because if I want to play a game for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours plus, I will. I'm blanking. Divinity Original Sin 2. My one save in that game was 80 fucking hours, and that was the story.
Yeesh.
You know, me and Matt did a lot of side content, but it was 80 fucking hours. I didn't mind. Like, I had absolutely, there was no point in that game where I was like, this is taking too long. Versus like Assassin's Creed Valhalla at the 20 to 30 hour mark, I was kind of like, okay, I feel like the story's kind of getting close to the end here. The game's starting to overplay its welcome. And then by 40 hours, I was like, oh God, that's when it kind of clicked to me that this game was going to be way longer than I expected it. And it still took me 20 more hours to beat it.
Damn.
And that was, at that point, I was like, I'm mainlining shit. I ain't even bothering with side shit. I'm just going straight for it. And it took me, you know, 20 more hours. And that kind of shit, that's kind of where I draw the line for me. Is like, if after 40 hours, I feel like I'm banging my head against a wall to finish the game, I just need to get better about putting it down and just being like, I'm done. Like, I don't need to finish this game if it's not respecting my time.
I feel that.
I mean, I'm pretty good about that.
Yeah.
I just get kind of burnt out. I'm like, this is not for me.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem that I have is I love video games so much and I want to finish every video game that I play. Like, I want to see the entirety of the experience, not just the beginning or the middle. And the problem is I have a hard time if I'm in a game that is dragging. A lot of times I tend to not blame the game or not think that the game is not for me. And I start to feel like I'm the problem. like, oh, it's just taking forever because I'm bad, or it's taking forever because I'm not trying, or, you know, I'm doing too much side stuff and not focusing on the main content.
Right.
Rather than taking it for what it is, which is that, no, this game is just too big, too long, and it's not interesting me, so I need to move on.
Right.
I feel that.
And when I have tons of games on a backlog that need to be beaten through, like, I should probably do better at that.
Shit. My issue is I don't give games a chance. That's my issue.
You don't give a lot of things a chance.
I know. I got to give them more chance. That's why I've been more open to trying different game styles and trying different games.
Yeah, because I know, like, TV shows, we had this conversation one time that, like, I'm a one-season guy. Like, I give every show a season.
I can't.
Oh, I could not. Yeah,
I've been burned a lot by shows. Like, we've had this conversation before, so I'm not going to rewrite it for everybody. But, like, The Walking Dead is probably the best example that I have. That is a show that I absolutely adored the first, like, 5 seasons of. They're fantastic. But it took me almost 2 years to get through the first season of that show because the first episode was so boring and nothing happened. And I was just like, I can't get through this. But I'd heard so much good things about it and everybody loved it. Even my fucking grandma loved it.
Oh.
So I was like, there's absolutely no way that this show is this boring and this many people wouldn't like it. You know, otherwise this many people wouldn't like it. Like, people would just hate it. And So I forced myself one night. I had the time. I sat down and I was like, I'm forcing myself to watch the entire first season. And it took about half to 2/3 of that season for me to finally be like, all right, I'm hooked. So I find that a lot of times people watch one episode of a show or they play a few hours of a video game and they're like, eh, it's not clicking for me. And sometimes it does take a little bit more time for the show or the video game to kind of claw you and get its hooks in to where right. You're like, oh, I have to finish this. Not every game is a Tunic where I put like 30 minutes and I was like, yep, nope, this is great. Like, some games are a little bit slower to the, like Horizon, the first one. That's a game that's a great example. Like, I played the first 5 hours of that game and I was like, this is all right. And then once it branched out and I got out into the open world, you know, I was like, oh no, this is okay. This is fantastic. You know, so there's stuff like that. Sometimes it just takes time. Mm. So you do need to get better about that.
I do.
But also I need to get better about not like dragging myself to the finish line on games that I don't like. So maybe we can help each other here.
Maybe we possibly could.
Maybe we can help each other. But with that, we're going to wrap up the news. That was it for the news. So listener questions. We don't really have a question. It's more of I saved it for the end. Right before we started, one of our listeners was kind enough to break some news for me that I did not see from several days ago. Which is that apparently the next 2+ years of Apex Legends content has leaked.
For real?
Oh.
Yes.
No.
So I find this hilarious and absolutely hysterical that this happened. So 9 new Legends, 5 new weapons, a new game mode, a new map. All of it has leaked.
How long until it was supposed to come out?
This is stuff that likely would have trickled out over the next 2 years.
Oh gosh.
Or more.
Yeah. I know that's rough.
Because they've been averaging, they've been doing one new legend a season, and a season is usually, 3 months? I think. Or are they a little bit longer? They might be longer than that. They average about 3 months long. A couple of them are shorter, a couple of them are longer, but normally they're about 3 months long. And they add a new hero every season. And so you're looking at 9. So that alone is, you know, what? If you're adding a thing every season and you've got 9, that's 9 seasons, which is 27 months, which is over 2 years. So,
wow.
Sheesh.
Yeah. The new map is called Divided Moon. That's your new like actual BR map. Arena mode, which is their kind of like smaller focused mode. It's not Battle Royale. There's going to be new maps in that. They all seem to be inspired by Titanfall maps. New weapons. Not much is known about the new weapons, and it looks like there's going to be a Capture the Flag game mode with its own custom maps.
In a Battle Royale?
Ooh, added. So we had this conversation in the first run of episodes of the ABXY cast, me, Matt, and Donald. We talked about whether or not there was room for traditional, like, Call of Duty multiplayer in a Battle Royale world. Because we kind of live in a world where the most popular multiplayer games are Battle Royales. And Call of Duty was still an annual franchise, you know, which... that's changing, but they were still an annual franchise and they were pumping out a new multiplayer experience every single year. And we talked about whether there was room for that or whether that was still what people wanted. And I made the, like, a, what I now consider to be a fairly prescient prediction, which was that eventually you would see your Call of Duties add massive Battle Royale modes, and you would see your big Battle Royales add more traditional multiplayer modes and kind of meet in the middle. And that's exactly what happened. Because people want to play games with other people.
Yes.
And if you already like Apex and you want to play your hero shooter, why not have additional modes that people can play? They have a ton of new heroes, defensive heroes, recon heroes, support heroes. They have one that will, like, you can, when a team member is downed, you can drag them to a place that's, you know, covered so you can revive them. Throw down shields and, you know, just tons and tons of stuff. Sucks for the Apex Legends team.
Yeah.
That your next 2 years of fucking surprises have just unceremoniously been dumped on the internet.
It does really suck because it's like they worked to get it all, like, ready to keep people satisfied for 2 years. So basically,
yeah,
start over.
Yeah.
Everything that you planned on releasing for the next 2 years and would have been a surprise for your players has now been thrown out to the world.
Yeah, I know that sucks. I know that sucks.
Yeah. So, thank you to Ducky for that.
Ducky.
So we had no other questions though for this week. So that is going to wrap us up, on this very relatively low energy podcast. I'm not going to lie. This has been a low energy evening.
Listen, man, I just got off like a 9-hour shift.
Yeah. I've been working my ass off for the last week.
It's been a long, long weekend.
Yeah. I'm also a little sick. I don't know if y'all can hear it in my voice, but my nose is like super stuffy. So I've been trying to like not talk as much because I have to be a mouth breather right now.
My nose has been stuffed up like crazy.
Has it?
Yeah.
Is it the weather?
I think it's the pollen.
No, the low energy has been the PlayStation news. I don't have a PlayStation.
Oh my God, really?
That's really what it is.
The low energy is the PlayStation news because you don't fucking have one. Well, it sucks to suck, you know?
When we go on a segment about PS5, PS4 updates, what am I supposed to say? Cool.
Yeah, cool. That's you can even attack it. Be like, you didn't have that already? It's something.
Gran Turismo, when you were talking about that, in my head I was like, who the fuck would buy Gran Turismo and not Forza Horizon?
Well, nobody fucking needs to buy Forza Horizon anyway, because it's in the fucking Game Pass. So, Sony doesn't have a Game Pass yet. So, and even if they did,
actually, is surprising.
Well,
that they haven't had one yet.
We had this conversation in a previous episode, so I'll keep it brief. But the you're fine. The reason they don't is because Microsoft makes billions and billions of dollars a year as a company from a ton of products.
That's right. That's right.
So they can afford to kind of be like, well, we don't need to necessarily make money on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Versus Sony, they make all of their money, the PlayStation division makes all of their money on hardware sales, accessory sales, game sales, and licensing. And so the idea, they basically, there's, like I told Chase, there's a spreadsheet somewhere inside of PlayStation, which has the money they make currently from game sales and licensing, and the money that they could potentially make on a subscription. And those numbers have to eventually get to a point where the money they can make from people subscribing is higher than the money they make from the individual game sales in order for that math to make sense. And at that point, they'll have a Game Pass competitor.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they're going to create a Game Pass-esque subscription that's like, we're going to have games for you to play, but it's not going to be the new ones. Like, it's not going to be like the new God of War or the new Uncharted or the new Last of Us or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they still want you to go out and buy those games. They may give out discounts, which would be, like, if you're subscribed, like, we'll take half off, which would be compelling if there's, you know, for them. Like, that would be a big deal. People would probably be like, oh, yeah, no, I'll pay $30 for it or $35 for it.
Right.
You know. But it's not as compelling as Game Pass, which is like, oh, you want to play Halo? Here it is.
Here it is.
You want to play it? You want,
enjoy it.
You want to play Elder Scrolls 6? Here it is. You want to play Starfield? Here it is. So, but that's kind of the difference is like, I think we talked about it, that the amount of money that Microsoft paid for Activision Blizzard was half of the total value of what place of Sony, the entire company, insurance company and all, is worth.
Yeesh.
So you're talking about a massive gulf in purchasing power and how much they can fuck around. I think Microsoft fucked around with Game Pass and found out that it's a model that works for them. And Sony, I think, has looked at it and said, we can't even risk to fuck around, because if we find out it doesn't work for us, it'll be bad.
Hey, it do work, though. It do
it
work.
Does, because once you're on that subscription, you don't want to get off.
It works.
And you don't, like, yeah, it's become...
It's true.
It's become a requirement. Like, there has been multiple times where I'm like, that's an easy $15 a month I can just nix. Like, boom, it's gone. It's like, whatever. But then I'm like, then games like Tunic drop. And I'm like, yeah, but I would have to buy that now.
Yeah.
And there's just enough games coming at just a regular enough interval that it pays for itself. And it's like, well, I might as well just pay $15 a month rather than having to stomach buying $60 games all the time. And then it opens up, interestingly enough, I said I don't buy games as much anymore, but it opens up my ability to say, you know what? I can buy Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, because I'm not paying $60 for all these other games. So now I can afford to buy these other games that I want to play, which is, that's what I'm going to be playing this week, is Tunic and Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
I will probably be playing the same too. Not going to lie to you.
I'm excited to play that game. I am excited to play that game. I wonder if it has any weed stickers in it.
Oh gosh.
Weed stickers. I'm making that the podcast title just because I've said it so much. I've willed it into
weed existence. Stickers.
Weed stickers.
It should be the title of this week.
Weed stickers. The most forced podcast title we've had yet. Weed stickers.
What?
Literally, weed though. Like, the rest of them, like, is one phrase that popped up, and this one, I've said it like 20 times. Weed
yeah,
stickers.
Yeah, that's true.
Weed stickers. But yeah. So with that, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to come back next week. We tried to plan better this week.
Well, next week we will record sooner. I will make sure that happens.
next week we need to try to record sooner, and or at the very least record earlier.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Not necessarily so late.
Yes.
But yeah, so we will be back next week. In the meantime, feel free to send us your comments, your questions, and any concerns you might have for our well-being or Ariel's Taco Bell. Be sure to email us to the podcast, podcast@abxycast.com, or you can DM us on Twitter. You can you can text me a question. If you're worried about why I keep calling Chase a dumb rug, you can text me that question.
You've explained that yet.
It says gamer tag. It's dumbest rug.
Dumbest rug.
Dumbest rug. Which for a long time, because my brain works in mysterious ways, I thought it was Russian. And I'm like,
are you serious?
I was like, what is dumbest rug? Like,
dumbest rug.
Dumbest rug. And then finally, I'm like, oh, fuck. It's dumbest rug.
What is dumbest rug?
Dumbest rug. I don't know. Dumbest rug. Let me just call up my friend Putin and ask him, what is
dumbest rug? Oh, my gosh.
What is dumbest rug?
What is dumbest rug?
What does dumbest rug mean? And is it in any way related to desk lamp? Because, and you know, feel free to email us if you have concerns. I can give you Ariel's Alcoholics Anonymous schedule.
I need a sponsor.
We've got her on a 12-step program.
We're working on it.
Steps 1 through 11 are drink. And step 12 is, are you sure?
Amen.
Amen.
And I don't know about you guys, but while we were drinking, I was drinking a seltzer, citrus soda seltzer.
Wow. I had a Smirnoff, actually.
And y'all call me the alcoholic. I hydrated on water this entire time.
Yes, because you can't mix alcohol in Taco Bell.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I don't feel too good either.
What did I say? The Taco Bell was going to destroy you.
We were like 45 minutes in, and I was like, oh, no.
The Taco Bell has arrived. I got to go.
It's been here.
The Taco Bell has been here. But yeah,
it's time to go.
Email us, podcast@abxycast.com. You can follow us on Twitter @theabxycast. And trust me, we got some stuff coming in the future. We got some plans. We got some ideas. We got some neat stuff we've been talking about. We're going to roll that out over time. But until next week, everybody, play some games, have some fun, and we'll catch you next time.